Pastor Candy Christmas of Regeneration Nashville, and I'm so happy to have this time together with you today. If no one's told you they love you yet, I want to be the first. I love you, and I'm so glad you're here. Today, I want to talk about His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, and I want to start in the book of Judges, Judges chapter 13, and you probably wouldn't really expect, unless you're very familiar with this portion of Scripture, that I would get this topic out of the book of Judges, and we're talking about Samson and his parents. And so we're going to start here at verse 2, chapter 13 of Judges, and this is New King James Version. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. And therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink. Do not eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So, you know, you're just reading along here in Judges, and the Word of God begins to talk about how that Israel is again backslidden, has turned their back to God, and they've taken on false gods and idols, and the angel of the Lord. So when you, I know that you know this, many of you are Bible scholars, but when it says an angel of the Lord, it's just usually a messenger angel, Gabriel, Michael, an angel. But when it says the angel of the Lord, and it is capitalized, we are talking, scholars will say, and you can trace this back, the scholars and your theologians say, this is a theophany of God, that God himself was on a mission, and he visited a barren woman, Manoah's wife. And so he begins to tell them that you're going to, her, Manoah is not there. Her husband is not with her. And so he begins to tell her, don't eat anything of the vine, don't drink wine, because this man is a special priesthood. He's a prophet. He's a judge of Israel. And so he's a Nazarite. And so don't drink anything of the vine, grape juice, wine. Don't eat grapes. Don't eat anything unclean, because this child is special. And so she runs and she tells Manoah, her husband. And so they get all excited, but they're trying to figure out everything that the angel said and what this child shall do. And they're excited, but also I think probably it was just a little incredulous. Just they didn't know what to think about it all. And so they prayed and they cried to God and they said, "Could you make this angel come again and tell us again and explain more explicitly what it is you're expecting and what it is you want us to do?" And so the angel of the Lord comes back, but he comes back again to the barren mother. And so she's like, hold that thought, wait right here. I want to go get my husband. So she runs to get Manoah. Manoah came back and he says, you know, "Are you the angel?" I could read it all. It would take a long time. It is such a beautiful story. I just want to encourage you to go back and read it. I was reading it before daylight a couple of days ago and sitting there with my coffee and my dog. And I was, this leapt up in me so much. I couldn't wait to just talk to you about it. It excited me in my spirit, because Manoah says, you know, tell us again about this. And so the angel said, you know, began to go through it all again, that this is a Nazarite and she's not to eat anything unclean. And he said, well, I tell you what, let us make a sacrifice, let us make a dinner for you. We're going to kill a goat. We want to feed you. This is the Middle Eastern way. We want to be hospitable. We want to serve you food. And so he didn't really realize the magnitude of this visitation, that he was really talking to God. And so let's jump down to verse 17. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?" So I think that he's believing that this man is more of a prophet than the angel of the Lord. And this is what the angel of the Lord said in verse 18. "And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why do you ask my name, seeing that it is wonderful?'" I want you to know, I had to set my glasses down. I had to set my coffee cup down. And just, there was something about that. It blessed me. "Seeing that my name is wonderful." I just want to pause in this moment and say, his name is wonderful. You know what? For the next day or two in my prayer time, I just sang that old song. There's an old song that says, "His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful." I imagine my neighbors thought I was crazy because I'm walking my path just singing to the top of my lungs, "His name is wonderful." You know, we get so bogged down at times with the magnitude of the situations that we're facing, and sometimes just the cares and the burdens of life. And we know that we are supposed to pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, "Anything you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father is glorified in the Son." Didn't he say it? So we know a lot of times it's just a tag on, "In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus." But in this moment, I just want to pause and just praise the wonderful name of Jesus. His name is above every name. You know, when I was a little girl, we sang this song, "Bless that wonderful name of Jesus." My, I'm singing a lot. "Bless that wonderful name of Jesus." We forget how wonderful his name is above every name. So I want to go back to the King James. The King James, just for a moment, in Judges 13, 18, the King James Version says, "Seeing that my name is secret." And so the New King James and a lot of your other translations translated it into wonderful. But the way that King James translated it was secret. And so I just want to give you the lexicon of what that word means. And the first word obviously is wonderful, because that's where it was translated in some of these other translations. Wonderful. Incomprehensible. You can't even comprehend it. It's extraordinary. Different translations render that last word as beyond understanding. That's the NIV. Too wonderful is the ESV. Incomprehensible is the Jewish Publication Society. The Hebrew word here is the word Pala, P-A-L-A, but the way it's pronounced, you and I, if we were spelling it phonetically, it would be P-A-W-L-A-W, Pala. And so, and the deep meaning there, of course, is wonderful. But it means, I wanted to give you these definitions so that we could understand that it's not just a tagline. "Oh, in the name of Jesus." No. Beyond human comprehension, too extraordinary to fully grasp, supernatural, miraculous, belonging to God alone, outside the limits of natural understanding. This is what the Strong's Concordance says, and you know I love a good definition. Strong's Concordance says to be marvelous. And of course, here's this other word, wonderful. to be surpassing extraordinary, separate by distinguishing action. And so the root pala is often used in the Old Testament for the miraculous acts of God. So you know this. Many times people were named in the Old Testament by their acts. Of course, Jacob means supplanter and or heel grabber. And so that's how he was known, as a trickster, a heel grabber, a supplanter, and his name meant that. And so that's what he was called, because it was the attribute of his nature. Even Esau, that the word Esau means red, because he had red hair. And so Ichabod, remember Eli's daughter-in-law named her child Ichabod because the spirit had departed. And so how would you like to go through life with a name like that? So many times the name would describe the attributes of the character of who they were or what they did. And so Psalm 77:14 says, "You are the God of wonders, Pala." Exodus 15:11, "Fearful in praises, doing wonders." That word wonders, Pala. The last verse is especially important because the same divine idea appears there. Manoah wanted a name in the ordinary sense. What is your name? Well, you know, Paul, John, Timothy. No, it's secret because it is incomprehensible. It is extraordinary. We have a saying, out of this world. It's not of this world. It's out of this. Our finite minds cannot contain it. But the angel answered and essentially said this: "My nature cannot be captured by a human label." Friend, it just excites me, because this is the kind of God that we serve. So many times we want to bring God down to bite sizes and, you know, can he work out my financial situation? You know, can he really, you know, work on my child's will? And can he really line up circumstances to bring them home? And we want to diminish God down to our problem situation. There's a passage in the Psalms that says, "Oh, magnify the Lord." Why? Because he's great and greatly to be praised. He can do beyond, exceeding, I quote this a lot, exceeding abundantly above what we ask or what we think, if we can believe it. A lot of times we want to box God in and say, okay, well, you can only, you know, do this much because this, you know, this is how big my problem is. And God says, hold on just a minute. Don't you know my name? My very name is wonderful. I just get so excited about that. So their reaction, we're about to leave this story about Manoah and his wife. And if you want to go back and read it, it's Judges 13, and it's really, really wonderful. And read on too about Samson's life and how God used him against the Philistines. And so some exciting parts of this story, and also some very sad stories. But anyway, their reaction, "For it came to pass, when the flame went towards heaven off of the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame." Then Manoah and his wife, they go, okay, we're dealing with something that we don't understand. And Manoah and his wife, so I'm kind of just taking bits and pieces out of these verses here. You can read it. But Manoah and his wife fell on their faces on the ground. And Manoah said to his wife, wait, let's go back. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Verse 22, and Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. We have seen God. So we're talking about the name Wonderful, and this word Wonderful, it denotes God's character, the essence of who he is, his authority and his nature. King David said in Psalm 40 and 5, many, O Lord, are thy wonderful works. His essence, his character, his authority, his nature. Many are thy, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak them, they are more than can be numbered. Did you catch that? God's thoughts are of you and towards you are more than can be numbered. When you feel overlooked and you feel forgotten, you feel like the heavens are brass. It says it right here. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. That tells me that you are always on God's mind. When things aren't working out right, believe me, he's working things in your favor. He's working all things for your good. Even when he's not speaking, he's still thinking of you and working things out for your good. Psalm 78 and 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works. I put this in there because it is so important for us to share our faith in the home with our children and his wonders and his wonderful works. A lot of times, you know, when we are at home in our daily life, and I need to get on with this because I'm spending a lot of time here, but can you tell this is really in my spirit? I hope that there's an impartation. I'm believing that there is an impartation of life, of the wonder-working power of God. Man, I want to sing another song. There is power, power, wonder-working power. So anyway, we let our kids share in our faith and in the things that we're going through, and they can see the miracles that God does for us. So we show it forth to the next generation, the wonderful works, out of this world works that he has done. Psalm 107 and 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. 107:15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works. Psalm 111:4 says, he hath made his wonderful works. So this is the attribute. He's wonderful. His name is wonderful. His works are wonderful. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice always because he is wonderful. Just a couple of more scriptures here and we'll move on. Psalm 139:6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and I cannot attain it. Last one, I promise. Deuteronomy 28:59. Then the Lord will make thy plagues. I put this in here on purpose too because I thought you would enjoy this. And the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and long continuance. So the Lord made his plagues wonderful. When the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, remember this in the story of Pharaoh, the plagues that God performed in Egypt were out of this world. They had never been seen before to mankind. And still yet today in 2026, we're still talking about the miracles that God did. Why? Because right there, he opened the curtain and he allowed us to see his greatness by the wonderful plagues, the wonderful miracles, too much for our mind to conceive of, and for the Israelites to conceive of, for the Egyptians to conceive of who God really is. And I want you to know that God is able to send plagues on these kind of wonder-working plagues against your enemy. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the enemy of drugs and addiction that's come against your children, the enemy of the devourer that's come against your finances and your business, the enemy of division and offense that's tried to divide your family. God is able and he is willing to send wonderful plagues against the enemy through what? His name. His name. Let's get on with that. I just want to show you this very quickly. So Webster's says the name wonderful is adapted to excite wonder, admiration, exciting surprise, and strange astonishment. Job 42:3 said this, "You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered," this is Job speaking, "what I do not understand." He said, "these things too wonderful for me, which I did not know." So Job, my goodness, the book of Job, we get a peek of the wonder-working power of God in the book of Job. And Job confesses that things he spoke were too wonderful for me to know, admitting his limitations to his human understanding of God's divine counsel and power. This phrase marks a turning point where Job shifts from questioning his suffering and acknowledging God's sovereignty. So you knew we were going here. I know you did. Because Isaiah 9:6 is such a beautiful passage of scripture. And I can quote it, but I'm going to read it to you. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So he's saying all of this. Yes, his name is wonderful. His name is Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. All wrapped up and coming to earth, Emmanuel, God with us, wonderful. All wrapped up in the package of Jesus Christ. And so the name of Jesus Christ came on the lips of angels, right? The angel came to Mary. And Matthew 1:29, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So the word Jesus Christ, I'm sure you probably know this, Yahweh saves, or the Lord is salvation. So all of this wonder, all this power that we've been talking about in Jehovah, all of this awe that we've been discussing is now wrapped up in one name, and that's the name of Jesus. Guess what? We don't just get to speak it. We don't just get to pray in it, but it is within us now. Because Jesus said this, "I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." So even the name of Jesus Christ carried his mission. The Lord is salvation and Yahweh saves. Why is the name of Jesus Christ so powerful? Number one, he's God made manifest in the flesh. Number two, his name carries his authority. In the Bible, Jesus, someone's name means acting under their authority. When the disciples healed people in the name of Jesus, they weren't using some magic, if I could say it that way, some magic formula. They were operating under the power of that wonderful name. Because Peter said in Acts 3:6, he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." Let me tell you something, friend. I have seen miracles. My son Joshua and I, we were the deliverance team. And we did all the casting out of devils. And when our church was not regeneration, it was resting place. And we were the deliverance team. And we cast out demons, many demons, out of many people. And I have seen demons flee, come out of people in the name of Jesus. I've seen demons curse me, and I say, in the name of Jesus, or want to spit on me, or want to hit me, in the name of Jesus, and they cease and they halt. I've seen cancers fall off. I've seen fevers disappear under the power of the name of Jesus. I remember one time, my husband and I, we wanted to do some benevolent work, and there was a little underprivileged girl that needed some dental care, and she was in very bad pain. And I'm friends with a dentist, okay, with the orthodontist. I'm friends with him, have been for years and years. And my kids went there. I've done business with him, and he knows my name. And so I told this little girl's mother, I said, "Take her to this doctor and tell him my name, because I've already talked with him. He's expecting you. You can go in and have her teeth done in my name." Why? Because I've done business with him. Let me tell you something. You're going to love this. All you have to do is tell the devil Jesus' name. "I come to you in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you in Jesus' name." Why? Because you're walking in the power of that wonderful name. And Jesus has done business with the devil. He defeated him at the cross. He defeated him at resurrection. But he went down in the belly of the earth and took the keys to death, to hell, and to the grave. And he said, "I am he who was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore." Jesus Christ has done business with the devil, and the devil has to bow his knee to the name of Jesus Christ, because he knows you're walking in the authority of Jesus Christ. Philippians, I'm about to close here, but Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "God highly exalted him and gave him the name." I could stop right here and get up and shout. I could. "Highly exalted him and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue confess." I'm telling you, that demon spirit of cancer has to fall to its knees and say, "Jesus is Lord." That demon spirit of depression has to bow its knee. That demon spirit of poverty has to bow its knee and say, "Jesus Christ is Lord," because he has a name. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. At that name, kings bow, demons bow, death bows. Heaven bows, earth bows. In the Old Testament, his name was Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. So that name of Jesus Christ becomes hope for the broken, peace for the anxious, freedom for the bound, forgiveness for the guilty. I'm just going to close with this little story. But a few years ago, my grandchildren spent the night with me. And so I have one big old king-size bed up there in the guest room. And we all piled up. That's what grandmas do. We all piled up in bed. And, you know, they didn't really want to sleep by themselves. It gets dark. And so oh, we had done it all. We colored and put together puzzles, and we'd done it all. And it was bedtime. So I kissed them goodnight, and we all piled up in the bed, and we're going to go to sleep. And I roll over, and I'm about to doze off. And I hear singing, just faint singing. And it's my granddaughter, Adele. So I rolled over, and I said, "Adele, what is it?" And she said, "Cooper is scared." Well, his mother had told me that accidentally, when he was watching his little show on his iPad, and this is the way the devil works, something came across his screen, and it was scary, and it was bloody and macabre, something that a child's eyes, an adult's eyes, shouldn't see. But the enemy used it to build a stronghold of fear in his heart, and he just couldn't get that picture. And the enemy would come when he was lying in bed a lot and torment him about that. We broke that thing off of him. But this particular night, I said, "What is it?" And she said, "Cooper's scared." And she said, "I'm singing to him a song." So he had whispered to her that the enemy was tormenting him. And she began to sing, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Little tiny girl. "There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim." She's a little tiny thing singing that in the bed to him. "Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name." And I want you to know, that demon spirit of fear, it left him. The peace of God settled down in that room, settled down on him. They went to sleep, and they slept soundly all night long, all because of that wonderful name of Jesus. Why do you ask my name? Seeing that it is wonderful, I just want to remind you today, you serve a wonderful God. I love you with all my heart. I hope I'll see you right here next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.